today's podcast, which is part two about Kentucky's K count of the homeless population, we're talking with partners to get more of a rural perspective about homelessness issues and opportunities for stable housing for our veterans. Today, our guest is Caleb Rose, who currently serves as the Housing and Outreach Coordinator for the Pennyroyal Veterans Center in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Caleb is a 21-year retired Army veteran who has a passion for veterans and veteran causes. He has served the Pennyroyal Veterans Center in multiple roles since the center opened nearly 6 years ago. Prior to this, he worked as a case manager for Buffalo Valley Incorporated at the Clarksville office in Tennessee. Caleb is a part of the Veterans Homeless Group with a goal to end veteran homelessness in the Tennessee Valley Health System, which comprises of Hopkinsville and Bowling Green, Kentucky, along with the Nashville and Clarksville, Tennessee areas. Caleb is about to begin his first term as the Kentucky Balance of State Continuum of Care Advisory Board member for Region 1, which covers the Pennyroyal and Purchase Area Development Districts and is comprised of 18 counties in Kentucky. The continuum of care refers to the comprehensive approach of addressing homelessness by providing a continuum of housing programs and services, which include outreach, intake, and assessment, along with emergency shelter services, transitional housing services, and permanent supportive housing for people with disabilities. Caleb, thank you for your service and for the work you're currently doing to help our veterans. You've certainly served in a spectrum of roles serving our veterans who need help and hope.
Thank you for having me.
Caleb, to get started, for those who didn't get to listen to part one of this podcast, I'll explain what the K count is and why it's so important to Kentucky. Each year in January, KHC and our partners conduct the K count, which is a count of homeless adults and families across the state, to monitor the homeless situation in Kentucky and bring resources from Housing and Urban Development to the state to provide shelter and services. HUD requires the count to demonstrate the need, which determines the amount of resources Kentucky receives. The K count is a very important activity that provides us with a snapshot of the homeless population based on volunteer efforts in each community. Our continuum of care partners and volunteers are vital in conducting the count to be able to best canvass our communities and survey people in areas where they seek shelter, which varies greatly between urban and rural communities. So, Caleb, you're situated in the far western part of the state, and that area is a more rural area. What are some of the myths we should dispel about rural homelessness?
Well, first of all, I'd say that a lot of people believe that homelessness in this area doesn't exist. I believe, and I've seen that it exists, but it exists in different form from, say, Nashville or even Clarksville. Here is the person who is situated in somebody's barn or who's walking the street all night because there's no other place for them to go. In Nashville, they're a little bit more visible. Even in Clarksville, they're a little bit more visible. You cross the border from Oak Grove, and the first thing you see is somebody panhandling at just about every light along 41A, which is the main thoroughfare between here and Clarksville. Another myth is that families will take care of the homeless instead of allowing them to become homeless. That too is a myth because the same kinds of economic issues that happen within the cities are the same things that happen out here in the country, where people, for whatever reason, become addicted to drugs or have mental illness where the families can't take care of them, and somehow they have to have the rest of the family survive. And that's perfectly understandable, although not right.
Gotcha. Well, you work extensively with our veterans. What are the demographics of homeless veterans that you work with?
Well, our facility is all male. All veterans that come to our facility are males. When I worked at Buffalo Valley, there was a facility for females in the south, just south of Nashville, Lewisburg. Although females are comprising a greater number of homeless veterans, there are not a lot of facilities for females. In fact, in our vision, which is the 626, which comprises Nashville, Murfreesboro, Bowling Green, Hopkinsville, there's only three Grand Per Diem programs like ours that have female beds available. Of those, would you believe that they don't stay full? Because unfortunately, they don't accommodate families. They accommodate single females only. Demographics for our facility, like I said, is all male. Our average is 40 to 55 year old. We, our youngest right now is 27, and our oldest is 67. So you can see there's a big age gap there. And just like the spread as far as race diversion, we have currently 30 whites, which is 60% of the number of beds that we have, and 38% black and one Hispanic, which is in keeping with what the national average is, which says that it's going to be 39% black and the rest are mostly white.
Gotcha. Are a lot of the people, is there a big disabled population? And I ask that from the frame of reference that I participated in the K-Count this year, and it seemed like disability and mental issues and substance abuse were really a reoccurring issue among the homeless population.
Yes, and it's the same among veterans also. Of the 50 that we have, I would say 35% are in our substance abuse program. Maybe 95% have some kind of mental health disability, TBI, PTSD, depression, big ones there. And of course, anxiety over separation. As far as the veteran population, we are in keeping with the national averages as far as reasons for homelessness. We offer substance abuse education at our facility. We have a therapist that comes in once a week to meet with as many veterans as she can. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Once they leave our facility, there are services in, and the VA is supposed to be picking up where we left off. I believe we need more HUD-VASH workers. I believe we need more SSVF workers. SSVF is Supported Services for Veteran Family. That's where they're able to pay first and last month's rent in order to move them into an apartment, but that cuts off after 3 months. So again, we can get a person into housing, but keeping them in housing, unfortunately, I think that's where our biggest drawback is. Of the 50 people that we have here at this time, unfortunately, 20 of those are returning individuals. We've seen them before. Three of them are three-time returners, and that means they've been here three times with us. For VA purposes, a person can only have three grand per diem programs in a lifetime. And I'm not sure if we explain what a grand per diem is. That's where the VA is paying us, a private organization, in order to house veterans up to 2 years. Though the length of stay of the veteran, the VA would like to be 180 days or 6 months. So when we talk about barriers, we're talking about things that don't keep veterans in housing, those that are housed, things that allow veterans to fall through the crack. The SSVF program, like I said before, it's not only about helping them move into an apartment, it is also to prevent homelessness by allowing them to stay in the housing that they have. So if a veteran is identified as needing money for a couple months rent after they're in housing, as long as they haven't used the program in 5 years, they can do that. But again, it is 3 months' work. We're not talking about the things that are making them not have enough money to take care of their rent and utilities, et cetera, in the first place. For some, it's as simple as the fact that they didn't prioritize. Their substance abuse issues continued, and instead of using money for rent and utilities, they're using it for alcohol and drugs. We see a lot of that, especially with our returners. The clients are the veterans that have returned to us. And I believe most of the GPDs in the area have the same thing going, where they're seeing a lot of people return because once they were stably housed, they'll stay there for 4 to 5 months, and then they're calling to come back.
Thank you, Caleb, for your time with us today and sharing your expertise and experience with us. We look forward to strengthening our homeless count process to bring more resources to the state of Kentucky. I certainly have a deep appreciation and admiration for our partners who work every day to help those who work with families and individuals and veterans such as yourself living and surviving in desperate situations who are in need of a safe place to live and sleep. We'll continue to bring new and seasoned partners together to have more of these frank conversations of what is happening in our communities. Finding common ground and leveraging resources are a couple of best ways we can come together to find and create innovative solutions that strengthen the lives of our citizens and break that cycle of poverty for the strength and prosperity of our Commonwealth. The continuum of care partners across the state are vital in serving the needs of our homeless population that are diverse in our regions. Caleb, thank you again for your role in serving on the board and representing your region. And to our audience, thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you. As a follow-up to these podcasts, the 2018 K-Count, or annual point-in-time count results, have been released. This is the effort to count homeless Kentuckians living on the streets, in emergency shelters, or transitional housing programs within the balance of state, which is the 118 counties outside of Fayette and Jefferson counties. The K-count occurred on the night of January 31st of 2018. Due to separate funding streams, Lexington and Louisville conduct their own counts on the same night. The balance of state identified 2,077 persons, while Louisville identified 926 persons, and Lexington identified 685 persons. County-by-county data can be found for the 2018 K-count and previous year's counts on KHC's website at www.kyhousing.org under Specialized Housing K-count. The next K-count will occur in January of 2019. To learn more about this effort and volunteer opportunities to help conduct the count in your community, sign up to receive KHC's eGrams for homeless and support services. Thank you.